Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of The Landing. I'm here with Yags again after the game 6 of the NBA Finals and the Bucks becoming the champions. How are you going, Yags?
I'm well, thank you, Landy. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How's your ISO going?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Hoping to get out of the lockdown next week, but I guess managing. It was handy having the NBA on today.
Yeah, no, 100% sorted me out. I found myself in a 2-week quarantine for going to the rugby last week. So I've literally been counting down the days for game 6 and was low-key hoping for a game 7 just so it sorted me out on Friday. But let's get into it. So Giannis absolutely went berserk. 50 points, I think it was 14 rebounds, 5 blocks, and was literally just everywhere. Like his athletic prowess was just on display the whole game. He was running hard the whole game. It was a weird game. It felt like a game 7. It reminded me of the 2016 Warriors-Cavs game 7. Just no one could make a shot other than Giannis and Bobby Portis. But what were your thoughts of the game? How like heavily weighted do you think this game was? And just give me your like first thoughts.
I thought, it was one of the best performances I've ever seen by a player in that situation, particularly. Like the only performance that I can remember seeing that was that good is LeBron game 1, but they didn't even win.
Yeah.
This was just stupid shit. LeBron's game 1 against the Warriors when J.R. Smith had the brain fade. That's the only game that like I can remember as being this clutch, this special, this dominant, and this like he was just carrying him.
He was insane.
And as we mentioned just before we started recording, like they would have lost easily without Giannis, obviously, today. So he didn't get the help that he sort of usually gets from Middleton, and Holiday was good, but he didn't make that many buckets. So Giannis was he did everything. There was 2 blocks on Booker. I think they were both in the last quarter.
Those fadeaway jumpers, and Giannis just elongates his arms out and just gets it.
And you could tell that was just sort of like soul crushing for the Suns.
Yeah.
The fact that he was doing it on both ends was just incredible. As you said, it was like a game 7. I think Mike Breen said during the call, he was like, is this a 1990s game? Because it was like 40 to 41 at, nearly half time.
Yeah, I heard that.
No one was making a shot.
It was ridiculous.
I'm really, really happy for Giannis. And also, we got our prediction right, our pre-series prediction. So, well done to us.
Unfortunately for Johnny Mitchell. we said Bucks in 6. The first 2 games, it's so interesting to look back on how they were down 2-0. Obviously, Giannis had just come back from that crazy like hyperextension. But to see how he kind of just gained confidence in his body as each game went on, his last 4 games were honestly insane. And like his first 2, he was just kind of getting his mojo back. But once he kind of started steaming off, it literally was just unstoppable. It was one of my favorite finals I've ever watched, honestly. Like the scenes at the end of the game, I was just so happy for him. And Giannis's career, how it's kind of just like slowly just he's built every year, put on weight, got like a better post game, learned basketball in regards to just making the right pass, like absolutely not gassing out every game. It's just been a really like kind of heartwarming story. And to see where he came from, obviously coming from Greece, coming from a poor background, it's just was just such an awesome experience just to watch him tee off, there to be a crowd in the stadium, and him just being so emotional. And then also just it's always great to see a team like draft their pieces and their pieces to do the proper development, which we see less and less these days. It kind of reminded me of the 2015 Warriors, how you had Steph, Clay, and Draymond just grow up together and then just develop and mature and then just reach the pinnacle. It's so exciting to see. And I think so many people have bashed Giannis, whether it be for his shooting, don't get him started on his free throw shooting today. But there's been so many shortcomings for him.
Steph Curry.
Exactly. But even like all these shortcomings that we've discussed, which are definitely like fair enough, But it's so awesome to see those like get overcome. And especially for someone like Middleton as well, hitting those clutch shots down the stretch. It was just, I was absolutely loving it. I actually got goosebumps at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, it was so good. And I thought, yeah, sort of the whole Bucks team, the fact that they're sort of organic. The fact that Giannis could have left for you know, a big market or a team that had a better chance at a championship after those first few years of a couple of, you know, like failures when they lost to the Raptors and then last year when they lost to the Heat.
Yeah.
But he just came back stronger and the whole Bucks team did, and it's just so great to see. But yeah, this is Giannis's last four games of the last, well, since game one. So game two he has 42-12. Game three he has 41-13. Game four he had 26-14. Game five 32-9, and game six to seal the series 50-14 and five blocks.
It's ridiculous. Who has 50 in a closeout game?
Yeah.
In the finals. Yeah, it's insane. Like, yeah. I was just watching, just shaking my head, just like this blow, and he's going so hard on both ends. Like it wasn't like the defense was hiding him and giving him an easier matchup. He was getting chased down, blocks, running hard back on defense. It was just insane. And 2 weeks ago, his knee did the full like Harry Potter wrist action, like a dead set folded over itself. It was insane. Like, I was absolutely loving it today. And it's also just great to see for Drew Holiday as well. It's cool to see, because it wasn't a ridiculous piece to pick up. It was just like the correct piece for Milwaukee to pick up over the offseason. It's awesome to see that work. And to see, like, even though he didn't shoot great early, I think it was like 1-11 or 1-12 at some point, but his defense down the stretch, especially in that steal in game five on Booker. But today he was just, again, great, just switching between Booker and CP3s, which is just not an easy task for anyone.
No, not at all.
What do you think of CP3 and Booker? What do you think of their game today? And did you, Ayton was a bit quiet as well, but what did you think of, did you think that, I thought Booker was not aggressive enough early, I thought, because I think it's quite important for someone like him to pick, like, to be aggressive early to kind of get his teammates.
Set the tone.
Yeah, and just give all those role players a bit more confidence, because even if, like, you shoot poorly, you still back Booker to, like, if he takes 10 shots, he's going to end up hitting them, like, early. And I think he only took 4 or 5 shots in the first quarter. And I think I would have preferred for him to be a bit more aggressive. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think, Booker wasn't obviously at his best today. Like, it wasn't awful, but he needed to be great. Like he was in the game five loss when he had 40. Someone just had to be, obviously no one was going to be as good as Giannis, but they needed probably 30 out of Booker or something just to stem the tide. And he got better as the game got going. But yeah, as you said, he started badly. He only had like 7 shots in the first like quarter and a half.
Yeah.
Which for a guy like him, who is a volume, like a really good volume shooter, he just should have been taking more shots.
Yeah, a bit like Kobe in that game 7, 2010. Just like you're not always going to have the best percentages, but your teammates back you in. He's carried them far enough already. Like, you've just got to shoot up bulk.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, you know, like a bad Booker shot is probably better than, you know, anyone else's shot apart from CP3s or, you know, like a really open shot.
But, 100%.
Yeah, and then I thought Chris Paul was, like, he was great.
Yeah, I agree.
Obviously, he's had a pretty rough series because he's been hobbled and injured. But, yeah, I mean, there was a period there when the Bucks looked like they were going to run away with it. And CP3 just kept making those classic mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, that's so good.
When he just gets to his spot, and it's so sweet to watch.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good. Obviously, I feel really bad for him because, like, you know, a week ago, it looked like they were going to win the chip and that he was going to have this chip finally. And now... He might never get one.
It moves quickly. But I guess it also just shows the greatness of Giannis as well, because the Bucks, because the Suns were absolutely steaming. Like, they, like Chris Paul, especially last series as well, was looking insane. And then he had that 40-point game and whatnot. And then Giannis literally just fired up and just took it away from them. And I think did you think that they were, what were they lacking? Did you think, like, I thought the rebounding was quite skewed, especially today, as like the offensive boards, I thought they just like came up with a few clutch rebounds. And even like in game five, where Giannis missed that free throw and tapped it back to, I think it was PJ Tucker or Drew Holiday. But I thought that they were definitely lacking an extra big, especially when they had, which is interesting because everyone kind of thought Milwaukee didn't really have the lineup, like they were like a bit too big, if that made sense, and like the guards kind of exploiting them. But I feel like it kind of like switched a bit, like with because a lot of they had a few lineups with Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, and Giannis out there, which is pretty rare in today's NBA. And I think that they really did need those minutes off Dario Saric a bit, which is weird to think about. But I thought that was a bit of a turning point for the series as well.
Yeah, I feel like they probably didn't get enough out of like their fourth option.
Yeah.
Whether that was meant to be Crowder or Bridges or like Cam Johnson. Like they probably you just need someone to step up, like not one of the main like and they probably didn't get that today.
Yeah.
Or sort of since the first two games, it was very much relying on Booker and injured Chris Paul.
Yeah, because like, there's 2 minute stretches just like to give Booker and
some instant offense, something like that. Just you know, like two buckets. I just didn't get that. Or a Maurice Spate.
Exactly. Mo buckets.
Like just that. Yeah, like you know, 3 minutes of offense just to give Booker and Chris like a rest.
And
to keep the like, because yeah, I think that's always the hardest thing in basketball is like. When your stars go off, can you get enough offense just to keep your momentum going for long enough for them to come back?
Yeah, exactly. And what did you think? So if you're the GM of the Suns, if you're obviously looking at a bit of a hobbled, it's crazy how quickly the script like changes, especially with like Chris Paul. Last week we were talking about, oh yeah, you've got to give him 4 years just because he's like showing his worth now. But he kind of like it burnt through. He was a bit hobbled down the stretch. Although like a very successful year for the Suns and Chris Paul. What do you think the Suns should do in regards to keeping Chris Paul? And I'm going to couple that with a fan mail question from AFL Benny. He said, "If Giannis, I've messed that up. It's actually a question from Oat." Oat asks, CP3 and what the Suns do if he goes somewhere else longer. Do they actually have the talent or will he always get injured and that just will never work?
Wait, does that mean like if Chris Paul leaves, do they have the talent?
Yeah.
I think they do. Like, I think Booker could be, I think he's proven these finals and these playoffs that he's capable of winning a chip as like either a Batman or like a 1B.
Yeah, I was about to say. But
he would need like another star to replace Chris Paul.
Yep.
You couldn't just let Chris Paul go and then get a couple of role players in return and expect the Suns to be competing for a chip.
Yeah, agreed.
Like that would probably be like an 8th seed if that happened, I reckon.
Yeah, because I think this I agree that Ayton and Booker will continue to develop, but I do think this is a bit earlier. I think Chris Paul's kind of like boosted them up a little bit earlier. So I reckon in 3 years Booker will be more, because Booker's what, 24, is he?
Yeah, what was he like, 2015 draft?
Yeah, yeah. Either way, he's quite young.
It was a Karl Anthony Towns draft, wasn't it? So yeah, 2015.
Yeah, yeah, so he'll be in his like prime in like 3 years, you'd say. Like we've seen glimpses of it, but we need more like more consistent play from him. But overall, I think in like 3 years they can look to be like a true contender. But I do agree that they also will need another piece, whether that's I don't think Chris Paul will be good enough in 3 years to like to kind of put with Booker and Ayton, but I think they definitely need to try and get him for another 2 years.
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul's just going to weigh out his options because he'll know that he's only got a finite amount of time left. But it very easily could be like a, I don't know, whether it's a Lakers or a Clippers to throw 3 or 4 years just to kind of just because they can.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah. I've got another fan question. This one's from Jano. A discussion about who you would take to start a franchise. Tatum, Booker, or Mitchell?
It's a good question.
I'm going to give my thoughts first.
It's tough
because a lot of it's going to be based on how they're developed, but and also they're at somewhat different kind of like parts of their like careers. So, for example, Tatum kind of jumped onto the scene, had a strong roster to begin with, and kind of like pushed in like that with the 2018 against the Cavs, like that series, and has generally just shown a lot. But it's kind of lacked. Like, I would say Booker and Tatum are somewhat in a similar position.
Yeah.
In regards to they've both kind of had, like, strong starts to their career. Oh, well, Booker less so. Booker obviously was in the trenches for his first 4 or 5 years. But after this year, Booker's kind of in a similar situation as Tatum. But personally, I'm taking Donovan Mitchell still. I'm staying loyal to my man. there might be a little bit of bias, but I think the way that he's developing in regards to getting his teammates involved, I think that's underrated. Mm. I think we saw that in this series today, especially in the game today. Booker can sometimes seem a bit one-dimensional, although fantastic when he's on. I do feel... that I would rather take Mitchell's playmaking. I've seen him maybe a bit go more aggressive at boards, play better defense, and I think that's what I'd put Mitchell above Booker at least. As for Tatum, I think the roster that he's set up with at the moment just isn't really designed very well for him. I think Tatum and Booker are somewhat similar in that sense, that they can sometimes just be too score heavy, and I think in that sense, I would like to see Tatum be a bit more of a playmaker. Out of those three, personally, my bias is taking Mitchell. But look, you're not really going to go wrong with any of the three.
Yeah, no, I think that was very well reasoned. I would probably take Booker after all this.
Yeah.
Just think, like, dropping 40 in consecutive finals games is a sign of a real talent. And like, more than just a talent, like, that's a sign of he's probably a superstar now, you'd almost say.
He's definitely
coming towards that. I think, like, you wouldn't go wrong with any of those three. I think, like, obviously, Tatum is so special. Like, Tatum dropped 50 on the Nets, don't forget.
Yeah.
I think with all those three, though, they're all probably, they're not quite, I don't think they'll ever be, like, top three player in the league kind of guys.
That's interesting.
Maybe top five, but I feel like they're all those three players will need, like, they'll need good rosters around them to win. They're not going to win. I don't think they're going to win championships with, like, off their own accord. Now, obviously, a lot of players don't do that, but yeah, I just think.
Yeah, you're saying that they're not like a Giannis, a Steph,
exactly.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I would say, like, they're randomly more, like, I think all three of them can be the best player on their team, in a championship team, sorry. But I think they're somewhat similar to kind of like a Dirk / like maybe a Dwayne Wade type player. I'm referencing to the 2006 championship, where they can definitely, like, for example, win finals MVP on a championship team, but I don't think they can actually, like, kind of pick up a team and carry them as, like, a Giannis does, or like a whether it's a LeBron or like a who else, like a Kawhi. So I think, but I also will add that I do think their ceilings are, like, quite high, and it wouldn't surprise me if, like, any of those three took that extra step and became like a seriously, like, bona fide, like, Batman.
Yeah. No, I think that can become, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that could be, like, massive Batman. So I just, Yeah, I think. But yeah, obviously you don't know how much they can improve. Like they're all still.
We're just kind of judging them as they are right now, and they're still all under 25? I think so.
Yeah, well, Tatum's younger than Booker, and so is Mitchell, isn't he?
Yeah. So look, we're judging them from what they're at now, and I think they're obviously trending towards being like they're carrying the league and carrying their teams. But at the moment, like Mitchell's. For me, showing me more in regards to being a better, like a better pace on a championship team compared to the other two.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Yeah, and we've got, sorry, Benny, I messed up your question before, but I'll read it out now. So he said, if Giannis retires today, where is he all-time? And also, what is his absolute ceiling for an all-time player, given he is 26? So do you want to answer the first one, and I'll have a crack.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I reckon all time. Well, I'll answer the first one. If he retired today, he would be. I reckon he'd be like top 30, maybe even higher. It's hard to say when, like, we're talking about retiring today. So what? He's won two regular season MVPs, one chip, one Finals MVP, and then
defensive player of the year.
Yeah, and then he's won, you know, heaps of he's made, what, like five or six All-Stars probably.
Yeah,
I think I don't know, top 30, top 35? Because his resume is already amazing. Like, his resume is better than MJ's or LeBron's was at this age.
Yeah, that's what we said in our, like, earlier part. This is, like, he's
looking. They didn't win a chip or an MVP. At this age,
wow, yeah, it's hard. It's always hard to kind of estimate because you've the top 30 is such a studs, all of them. But
yeah,
I reckon you're probably right. Honestly, he has to be around the 20 mark with those accomplishments. But I guess what kind of which is what he'd lose if he retired today is that he wouldn't have that like consistent like 10 to 12 year period where he just kind of performs every year, and that obviously carries a lot. So it's kind of hard to judge someone when he's been in the league, what, 8 years? So he's had like an 8 year career but basically won everything, but it's just like you kind of need that consistency as well. So I'd probably put him highest 17, 18, that area. And then I would put him no further back than like 24 all time.
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah.
Similar mark to you?
I think that's probably fair because he's better than like all those guys that get ranked higher than him. Like the sort of 15 to 20 mark, you got like Karl Malone. Like he never won a chip.
Yeah.
And he was never as dominant as Giannis has been.
Yeah.
He was never this much. Like, but I guess like someone like Karl Malone also played for 20 years and scored 38,000 points. So it just depends on whether you judge like quality over quantity, I guess.
Yeah, because also I will add, like, trying to judge someone's greatness, which is like the all-time rankings, you also need to take into account their shortcomings. And I think it does matter. Like, although, like, look, he's at the top of the NBA right now. He's like, and he's proved us all wrong that like you can win a championship by missing free throws for every game of the season except the last game you play, and all that. But it does also matter that he can't knock down like a consistent jump shot, can't hit threes, and struggles from the free throw line. I don't think it matters that you wouldn't even put him like in, as I said, like, you know, he's still an all timer. Already, but it does actually matter if you really want to reach that, like the like higher on the list of all timers. It's you have to be able to kind of have a more complete basketball resume, like in regards to just like skill set. Do you think that matters?
Yeah, I think it like it does in terms of the skill set, and like obviously he's got the shortcomings of free throws apart from today, and can't really shoot threes or. Like even a mid-range game, unless he's like in the paint, but I think he makes up for that, like with his defense and just the fact that he's basically Shaq but like more mobile. Yeah, so I guess all his flaws masked by his just utter dominance in the
post. Yeah, it's an interesting, because I reckon Shaq is ranked.
Well, he's the most flawed superstar ever. Shaq, because he couldn't do anything like apart from just dominating the paint, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, because like that's what I was gonna say. Like Shaq, I reckon is ranked quite strangely all time because everyone understands that he's arguably the most dominant player of all time over like his stretch, like just the most powerful and just like unstoppable. But he's obviously got like quite similar shortcomings to Giannis. So I think Shaq all time, people put him, it's like usually like the 10 to 13 range, something like that. But I guess that should be like Giannis's, like, which kind of goes into the next question, which is what is his absolute ceiling for all-time players given he's 26? I would say that his absolute ceiling would be just beating out Shaq in the all-time rankings.
I reckon he can go high.
Really? How high?
Like top. Oh, it's so hard because it's pretty hard to break into that like top eight because they've all won like five chips. And Duncan and Kobe and Kareem, Magic, Bird won three. Like they've all won, I guess, like if he won three chips and another couple of MVPs, he'd definitely be like top 12, which I guess is like that Shaq region.
Yeah.
I guess it just depends. Like, so he's the best player in the league right now. I think that's sort of official after this playoffs.
Yeah.
If he can stay like being the best player in the league and sort of get, you know, make deep playoff runs every year like LeBron does, then I guess there isn't really a ceiling for him.
Yeah, well, that's...
He probably can't be the GOAT. That's the only thing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because you kind of have to be realistic in guessing his absolute ceiling, but his absolute ceiling could realistically be anything because say he had just one of the... Because I like to think that like you often think that you know... You can kind of you think about the NBA for the next 10 years. You like to think that like so Giannis is going to win a couple of chips. Luka is going to continue to just like kind of like ascend to being like one of the best players in the league. But you actually just don't know what could happen. So Giannis, for example, Giannis for the next 5 years could literally win four chips and just absolutely just tee off, similar to how Shaq did in the early 2000s. So I think. I kind of agree with you that I guess I was trying to be a bit more realistic in what like he should kind of like aim for. But if he continues to, like, for example, look, I don't think today's free throw shooting is going to dictate how he shoots free throws from now on. I just don't I'm sure after a month of the season, like next year, we're going to be like, wait, where did that free throw shooting Giannis go? But say that he like dramatically improves and like maybe this is the confidence boost that he needed was winning a chip and kind of getting that validation. Is he might actually get, like play with so much confidence because you can see like, for example, LeBron, you can see once he won that first chip, that's all he needed. And he kind of just gained that like validation and that confidence. And then that just kind of continued to grow him in regards to just becoming a better shooter and all kind of aspects of his game because it just literally like a strong whiskey just took the edge off. And I think... Yeah. Like this could be the same thing for Giannis, and I think you're right in saying that he could realistically try and be a top five player of all time. Like, why not? Based on just his dominance, like having a 50-point closeout game. That not everyone does that. You know what I mean? That's just not like had like the last 3 years, although he's fallen short in the playoffs. Before this year, he's been so dominant. Like. As you said, two MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, chip, and Finals MVP, and he's 26.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there is no limit, I don't think, for him, which is so cool. I guess it just depends. Yeah, it's all about, like, consistency. But you said with LeBron, like, now that he's broken through, he's got, like, no demons now. Like, he doesn't have anything holding him back.
Exactly.
He's broken through on that chip. So, you can just imagine him next year. You can imagine him getting better, which is scary.
Yeah, I'm so keen to see it. And I'm just thinking about, like, I just keep thinking about that hyperextended knees. It's like dead set. I thought 2 weeks ago, we're not going to have Giannis next year at all. The Suns are just going to steam into a chip. And yeah, it's completely changed. And now Giannis is heading towards being an all-time player. And or like already kind of like stated that today.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's going to be insane. But thanks for the questions, boys. But just quickly, Yags, do you want to talk a bit about what you said? So the draft's next week. Do you think any moves get made in regards to the Warriors? I want to ask you, let me ask you these teams. So the Warriors, do you think something gets happens? Do you think something happens there? Dallas, in regards to the KP situation. And also, I quickly do want to talk about the Kawhi injury and what that does for the Clippers. So start off with the Warriors.
The Warriors, I actually don't. What do you like? They need to probably make a move if they want to win the chip next year. But I just wonder what that move is. Like, do they get someone like a Paul Zingas?
Oh, hope not. I saw a Siakam trade, which
that's interesting.
Which is what I've probably put as my number one as a Warriors fan so far. But I just like Siakam to replace like that Kelly Oubre role. So, and that I think, although it's slightly risky based on just him, again, I swear I say this word so much, but having the shortcomings that he does, but I kind of like that putting him in there, and it can also play, he can play kind of cover Clay for defense, because obviously when Clay comes back, he's coming off a knee and an Achilles. You don't want to be out of, there's Dame. You're playing on Dame today. You just can't do that anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. So I would say that the Siakam trade would be like my favorite. If like, look, I would love like a PG. I would love PG at the Warriors. Yeah. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
He's like him and Kawhi are staying together. You think?
Yeah. Well, Kawhi's having obviously surgery now, so like he's going to be out for a lot of next year.
Yeah.
Although it's a minor tear. I do think it's still somewhat a similar surgery to a complete rupture.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that really puts it on PG level. So I'm interested to see what happens there. A lot. But what do you think about Dallas? Like, what would you do with KP?
I'd get rid of him.
Yep.
I'd find a package. I don't know what his value is anymore. It can't be that good. When he was at the Knicks, he would have been worth so much, and he was, because of just he's like this. He had this potential because he was like this 7 foot, like 7 foot guy with a shot like Dirk, but was a better defender. And now since then, he's just, you know, he's always injured, obviously, which is one thing. But also his attitude just doesn't seem to be up to it. Like if you were his teammate, like if you were Luka, you would never trust him in big moments. You couldn't trust him to, you know, just be there when it matters. Like, so I don't know. I'd get rid of him. I'd, you know, take, I don't know, like a
who would be your ideal player to put with Luka? What sort of player are you thinking?
You'd either want a wing, like a Kawhi kind of guy. So if you got a wing, like a Paul George or a Kawhi, you'd put Luka like as like just like a full-time point guard, which he already is already kind of. And then like those guys can do the defending, which he needs help with. Obviously, he's not a great defender. And then the other option, I guess, would be you get a big man with him.
Yeah, I guess. Well,
like an AD or something.
And look, obviously KP just isn't as like a kind of like big, like in the key big, you know what I mean? He's more like a half wing just based on which to be fair though, I also think a lot of the reason why he was standing on the 3-point line for a lot of offensive sets was due to them wanting to make space for Luka to drive. So it's kind of hard to judge because I think Dallas kind of shot themselves in the foot where they've tried to completely unleash Luka, which I 100% agree with. However, they've diminished KP's value due to KP. And KP even said this last week, or this week, I think. He was just like the coach said, just stand in the corner and just wait for your shot. Mm-hmm. And like, that's just not going to help anyone because you're just not in the flow of the game. And someone like he was at the best, like at the Knicks when he was like more mobile and more actually involved. Yeah. And I think that I feel like, although like I'd like to like imagine like Embiid, did you say Embiid? What was the big that you said?
I said AD, but yeah, someone like Embiid. Any of those good big men.
Yeah, but I think like it, based on how, and like obviously Rick Carlisle's gone now, but based on how they were coaching, they kind of like wanted to open up the paint, which is a bit like, so I'm interested. I don't, actually not sure if it, like an inside big would work, but yeah, I think an ideal like wing would be the best, I think.
Yeah, I think, a wing, like obviously you're not everyone's going to be Kawhi or Paul George, but maybe a Siakam at Dallas, like that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
He's still improving and
good defender. I actually don't mind that Siakam as well. Because it seems that Toronto are just keen for a full rebuild. So I think he's probably on the move.
Blow it up. What about, like, I don't know, he probably wouldn't like move, but Jimmy Butler with Doncic would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that would work well as well. But I think he's pretty set. A lot of the time when people go to Miami, and like especially him, because he was like kind of went through a tumultuous time where he was just moving around a bunch. And then he's kind of found a home. And he's kind of old. He's like 31 now. So he's like, randomly, these guys are getting quite old. Like I kind of always thought Jimmy Butler was like, I don't know, 27, 28, but he's randomly a bit older. So yeah, that's an interesting one. And what do you think about, what about for the Lakers?
Geez, like, they're going to be really interesting because obviously LeBron, like you'd think LeBron's still got like two or three really good years left in him. But now, because he's getting a bit older and he's sort of starting to, like, he never got injured until he's been at the Lakers and he's just had a few injuries since he's been there. And then obviously AD is just like as good as he is, you can't really trust him. And then also he goes like missing in these big games where he just sort of, he looks like he's drifting through games.
Yeah.
Like he did in that, a bit in that Phoenix series. Yeah. So I don't know. The Lakers are interesting. Like I feel like they need to do something. They can't just, I don't think they can just expect next year we're going to be healthy, we're definitely going to win the chip, because like with these young guys coming through, it's just all of a sudden the Lakers, they're not like easily the best team. And with the Warriors coming back healthy, assuming that happens.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty open.
Yeah. It's really hard to pick because you'd like to think that their pinnacle, like their apex is a chip. Like you think that their team is kind of capable, but I just don't, I think they really are lacking a third option. But the thing is, they also don't have much to give. Cause like personally, I don't think Kuzma holds that much value. Someone like KCP, like I think he's just somewhat similar to kind of like a Jay Crowder, like it can be like a piece, but like not like anything substantial. And I think, but I also do think based on just the history of any team with LeBron James, they're always like going to make moves. I think they have to be in the works, but how they do that and who they go for, whether it's because obviously Schroeder doesn't seem to be working there based on him just not really enjoying it somewhat. And also just them not wanting to give him the contract that he's asking for. But whether it's like that, imagine if they went after CP3 and whether they could get him on some sort of a discount based on one, it's a good situation for CP3, and two, obviously he's best mates with LeBron. So I would say that would be, could be the top piece that they could get, but I don't really know how it would work because you hear that like CP3 wants 4 years. I don't think any franchise should do that. I think that's so dumb.
Yeah. Well, how old is CP3? 37?
36.
36. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, yeah. If I was a GM, I wouldn't give him more than like a 2-year deal, I don't reckon. It's just like as good as he is, it's just like so dumb because he might spend the rest of those 2 years. Like if you gave him a 4-year deal, those last 2 years could be like him completely injured, or he's just, you know, like he's been playing for what, since 2005. So he's had a, 17-year career already. Like his body eventually will give way. And
especially being a guard.
It'd be too big of a risk for a four-year deal.
Yeah. And
you could just give you'd rather just give him a really big, like, two-year deal.
Yeah, one of those, like the 2-in-1 deals, like, you know, the KD was doing, where it's like you get 2 years, like, bigger money, and then the third year is kind of an option. But yeah, I just think I wouldn't give Chris Paul, personally, I wouldn't give him over 2 years. Like, I would be, if I was Phoenix, I'd go to him and be like, look, 2 years, whatever sort of coin. Like, whether that's like 40 or 40, even like 45, like, just based on like having his, even if his body is just not, or like his like level of play isn't as high as usual, he's having his mind around the team is just obviously such a big bonus for any team. But I'd throw like a bit like his sort of money that he wants for 2 years and be like, look, we need to be able to like look for our future as well. So yeah, that's what I'd have to do.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all our topics, Yags. Thanks for coming on again. I do also want to say, I really appreciate you coming on for these basketball pods. Obviously, the start of the landing, but it's been absolutely
awesome
having you on. I've absolutely loved it. And I'm sure you'll be on soon for whatever other topic we do. But thank you very much. It's an absolute
welcome. Thanks for having me. I've loved my time as well, and it's a great podcast, and it's so much fun just talking about sport we love. So
yeah, it's been absolutely great. But thank you very much, and that's it.
Thanks, brothers. Okay.